Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. We appreciate you kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habager with us.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a fantastic start to your day out there, everybody. In just a little bit, we'll get into our, any right stories. We got good stories of the day coming up for you as well. But for right now, the way we like to kick off our Mondays here is with the kitchens open.
It's Monday, February 13th, and Valentine's Day is coming. It's like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful day for chocolates and flowers, but did you know that you can actually eat both of those wonderful things?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the flowers you're likely to get on Valentine's Day from a hothouse or a greenhouse, but many varieties of flowers are edible when grown or harvested properly,
mm-hmm.
meaning without pesticides, or you don't want to harvest them from alongside the road. But flowers can add color and pizzazz to a dish as well as important nutrients. Now, eating flowers is nothing new. There's no identifiable point in history when eating flowers became a thing. It's just always been. According to theherbexchange.com, ancient Roman, Greek, and Chinese herbalists used flowers for a variety of reasons. Incas, Aztecs, and Hindus used edible flowers in some of their religious festivals.
That's right. And one of the most commonly recognized edible flowers is the candelua. It has been cultivated for at least 600 years and played an important role in French and English culture. Romans used it in their food to give it a saffron-like hue. They called it the poor man's saffron. It was commonly used in soups and stews and things like that. In the 1800s, doctors realized the flower was useful as a poultice to stop bleeding and encourage wounds to heal. So it had healing properties as well. It was carried on battle lines to apply to injured soldiers.
That's fascinating. Nasturtiums are native to Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia. They made their way into Europe by Spanish conquistadors during the 1600s. Nasturtiums taste as good as they looked, so they used the seeds soaked in vinegar as a caper substitute.
Hmm.
The leaves and flowers added extra peppery flavor to salads. Nasturtium is a natural antibacterial agent and was used to sanitize wounds and treat respiratory issues. It was also used to treat urinary tract infections.
Always a bonus.
Yes.
Borage has a long history of being included in salads. They have a cucumber-like flavor, and the history of their uses reaches back to 1390. But in the 1700s, borage became a cure for nearly everything. An herbalist of the era said that a regular intake of distilled water of borage would cheer you up, reduce your risk of fainting spells, and ward off melancholy and tormented dreams, among a few other things. What a gift that would be, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It was also known as an herb of courage and was mixed with wine to give nervous Celtic warriors before battle to produce calm and courage. Borage has an antidepressant property, and it is a natural anti-inflammatory agent.
I didn't know all of that about borage, and
no.
It's such a, I think it grows, honestly, I think I've seen it. It's got little purple flowers,
yeah.
And just, I'm very curious to try it. I'd kind of like to plant some this spring.
Yeah.
Another plant that was very useful, the Greeks used feverfew as early as the 5th century BC. It has fever-reducing qualities, hence the common name, and was used as the aspirin of the 1800s. It was used to treat fevers, colds, and headaches. It also has anti-inflammatory properties and is used in modern days to treat migraines and tension headaches.
And it's wonderful to think that there are these natural remedies that we can have that can help us out instead of just the pharmaceuticals.
Well, and most pharmaceuticals were developed from these plants. You know, they got the ideas for a lot of these things from the properties they found in these plants.
Yeah, so they were a wonderful inspiration. Mm-hmm. Now, the safest way to consume edible flowers, as you said, is to just grow them yourselves. As we mentioned, greenhouse flowers like the ones on your Valentine's bouquet, Valentine's Day bouquet, have almost certainly been treated with pesticides or chemicals, and flowers you may harvest from the field or along the side of the road also may not be as safe to eat. Growing your own gives you the certainty that they are safe from both pesticides or road dust and exhaust, which can also make you sick. You can also purchase them online from trusted growers, so you need to do some research. And yep. Sometimes you can find them at farmers markets.
So roses are one of the most common Valentine's Day flowers, and they are also completely edible.
Mm-hmm.
The entire plant can be eaten, unlike some other flowers. So the petals are sweet, with a slight hint of spice. The leaves are good for including in tea and have a similar flavor to black tea. The rosebuds have the most rose flavor and make an excellent tea. I have some dried ones that I like to brew every now and then. It's really good. They can also be used to flavor other dishes, such as salads and desserts. Rose hips are packed with antioxidants and have more vitamin C per serving than oranges.
Wow, so that can help with your immunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Rose hips can be bought just straight from, like, Family Natural Foods.
Excellent. And I've heard a lot about rose tea. I haven't had it myself, but I hear it's excellent as well.
Oh, it's such a lovely, delicate tea.
Something to try. Mm-hmm. And if you're not into roses, daylilies are prolific in Wisconsin, though it's not a native plant. The plant is so prolific, it's classified as a non-regulated terrestrial invasive species.
Sounds a little, threatening.
Yeah, I know. Watch out. Here come the daylilies. But we actually have some in my backyard as well. They come in numerous shades of yellow and red and orange, purple and white. And they have a mild vegetable flavor similar to asparagus. You need to be very certain you have the right lily, as some varieties can be toxic and make you very sick. So make sure you know which lily you're using.
Yes. Now, lavender is another very popular edible flower. They have a distinct floral taste with a hint of rosemary mint combo. You only need to use a little bit in sweet dishes, as a little goes a long way.
Yeah. Chives are also a wonderful plant. We know them more for herbs, but the flowers that they have are also edible. So the flavor of the flower isn't as intense as the part we're used to using, but the blossoms have an oniony essence that make a delicious vinaigrette, and you can add them to vinegar.
Mm-hmm. My ultimate favorite, dandelions.
Yes.
Most people hate them in their yard, but the plant is entirely edible. The flowers taste the sweetest when they're picked young, and they have a honey-like flavor.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves can be eaten in salads or steamed like spinach, and they're also best when young. They have a spicy flavor, kind of like arugula. Now, the root can also be used, but that's a whole different topic.
But the flowers also can make a wonderful wine.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many, and they're so prolific. So, you know,
yeah.
In addition to your kids picking them to give them to you, when they do, use them. They can be used for so many things. Now, if we're going to talk flower recipes, so you know how to start to use some of these things. Flowers are a beautiful addition to a salad or added as a garnish to a plate. But there's a whole host of recipes that use flowers in a variety of ways.
The first and probably the easiest is freezing flowers into ice cubes. Simply fill your ice cube trays halfway full, then put the flowers in and add a few more drops of water. Freeze until they are set, and then fill the trays the rest of the way and freeze completely. They're perfect for a pretty cocktail party or just a way to dress up your water glass.
Yeah. And violets and nasturtiums make a beautiful and delicious salad with a lettuce base. You can make homemade nasturtium vinaigrette with rice vinegar, chopped nasturtium leaves and blooms, fresh chives, a little sugar, Dijon mustard, salt and pepper, and olive oil. This is best used fresh and will only keep in the fridge for about 4 to 5 days. So make sure that you're ready to use it when you plan to make it.
Mm-hmm. But it'll have a nice peppery flavor that'll add to your salad.
Yeah.
Now, rose water can be added to a brownie batter to infuse a delightful floral essence to your deliciously dark delight. You can use dried rosebuds or candied rose petals as a garnish on top. Candied petals are simple to make, but they do take a little patience. So after you wash the petals and let them dry completely, and you do separate them from the base, then you want to dip each petal into a beaten egg white or paint them with a paintbrush, and then coat them in sugar. Leave them on a wire rack until dry and hardened. And you also want to use them right away or store them in the freezer.
Okay. How about fried zucchini flowers?
I haven't tried this, and I'm so curious.
Well, anyone who grows zucchinis know you have to have an abundance of the vegetable, and enough is enough because they grow so much.
Prolifically, yes.
At some point, you'll be happy to pick the flowers so you don't have an overabundance of zucchini. You can use those picked flowers and stuff them with cheese or ricotta or just fry them up plain. Dip them in the batter made from flour, salt, baking powder, and soda water. Simply fry in oil in a skillet for 30 to 60 seconds per side until they puff up and they get crispy. You can sprinkle them with salt and serve with a refreshing dip like tzatziki.
Now, we do have to stop now, but we didn't even get to talk about all the wonderful drinks you can make with flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Elderflower cordial, grapefruit lavender spring blossom cocktail, lavender lemonade, rose-infused cherry gin fizz, homemade dandelion wine, as you mentioned earlier, or a peach and rosemary blossom lemonade. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Sounds like we'll have to have another segment with just the beverages.
Just there's so many.
Yes.
And they all sound so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think with that, we'll have to close this segment of The Kitchen's Open.
I went outside and grabbed a bunch of grass. I was just eating
flowers,
it.
Flowers, James.
No. Flowers, James, not
I
grass.
I did it wrong?
Flowers.
Yep.
I did it wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, it didn't taste right.
Yeah,
it didn't.
No.
I probably should have listened to the whole segment.
Probably some good fiber you got there, but.
Yeah. Great job, you guys. That was fantastic. Looking forward to another Kitchens Open next week already. Thank you for this episode, you guys. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some entertainment news for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Beth and Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic day out there. Dive into entertainment news, and we're going to kick things off with Kane Brown, actually. Some marriage proposals are worth filming. Kane Brown's wasn't.
Okay.
he popped the question to Caitlin, his at the time girlfriend, I guess, in the middle of the night, and she had no idea it was coming. She talked about it in a recent interview. Kane's very spontaneous person, she says. When he has a feeling or he knows for sure, he goes for it. He went ring shopping with his Nana and his mom. He showed up at my house at 3 a.m. at my parents' house while I was sleeping and proposed to me. I thought it was dreaming. I had no idea. I woke up that morning and I was engaged. There's a great tie-in to this story. Kane and Caitlin's duet, Thank God, is at number one on Billboard's country's airplay chart.
Aww.
They're only the second married couple to do that. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, of course, did it with It's Your Love back in 97. So that's an interesting, it's kind of a sweet story. Kind of cute. Yeah. Let's see here. This is not as sweet and much more interesting in some ways, I would think. None against that other story, but just I think this is going to be a more interesting story as we go along here and if this gains some legs. And I should mention that we're going to talk about Anthony Anderson here. That's an actor I've worked with and that I have a lot of respect with and I'm still friends with. So put that out there to get, you know, for journalistic integrity and all that. The current trend, especially in Hollywood, is to use Ozempic as a weight loss drug. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Ozempic?
Okay. I have no idea.
Ozempic. Ozempic. The popular thing right now is to use that as a weight loss drug, but it was developed as a treatment for diabetes. And Anthony Anderson was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes back in 2002, and he's not very happy about this. Quote, hopefully this trend will stop. I will say this. It's creating a shortage for those of us who need the medicine that we need and not for weight loss issues, but for our health.
Yeah,
and he has gone out of his way to really call out his actors for doing this and the need of this. And he's actually, weirdly enough, taken some pushback for that he should be more of a team player in these kind of things. And to which I say, what team are you playing on? Because Anthony's playing on the human race's side of things.
Right.
Like,
right.
And Obviously, as one of the more insane actors any of you will ever know, I'm crazy about the craft. I'm crazy about the way I approach the craft. You know what I'm more crazy about? Human beings. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand why he's taking pushback for this. Like, if anything, I would think he'd be celebrated for it and everything. Like, hey, good on him. You know, calling out his friends and coworkers for this and stuff. And at another, like, weird twist of things, he's actually taken some heat for it as, like, hey, you should be a team player. Anthony, like, hey, you should, you know, it's a tough gig. Like, so is having diabetes. Like, having diabetes is a tough gig. Not being an actor. And not having a Father Time, like, pull on your looks or your weight or something like that. That's called life. that's called, you know, getting older like the rest of us.
Right. This is a life-saving medication for those that need it. So to take it just so that you're losing weight, and granted, weight plays a factor in whether or not you become diabetic, but if you're not there yet, don't take it away from somebody who is.
Yeah, that seems very, I don't know. I'm curious to see how this goes, as you don't see a ton of this kind of in the acting world very often. So I'm curious to see how this story develops, or if it just dies, you know, and nobody even talks about it. I would be interested to see how that goes. The country community lit up social media praising Chris Stapleton's national anthem at the Super Bowl. Carly Pierce called it the most soulful anthem ever. Mickey Guyton called it, said, wow, Chris, you killed it. Congratulations, my man. Jordan Davis said Stapleton just crushed the anthem. Darius Rucker wrote, awesome job, Chris. You killed it. A lot of people very excited and thought his performance was really good. What did you guys think? Or did you get to catch it at all?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I had trouble hearing the guitar, but I thought it was a well-done performance of it.
Yeah, I thought he did a nice job.
It wasn't overdone. You know, so many people take it, and then they just try to, let's make as big of production out of this as possible, instead of just focusing on the simplicity of what that song is.
Right.
It seems like the majority of songs, good songs, especially well-written songs, you don't have to do any heavy lifting. It takes care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and especially when you're talking about a song that you can make the argument has been, you know, sung by more people than any song.
Right.
In our national anthem. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Like, the beat, the lyrics, everything takes care of itself. If you just go with the momentum, go with the feeling. Mm-hmm. I would think for me, the hard thing about doing something like that when it comes to something that pulls on our patriotism and so many other things is not getting caught in the moment.
Right.
That would be hard for me not to do, to pull back almost and just let the song do what it's supposed to do and give it the respect it deserves. I don't blame the artists that go crazy and go all out with it and everything. I don't like it, but
their interpretation.
Yeah, and I can almost kind of get it, because that's the point of the song. Or so it's supposed to pull that emotion out of you. You're not supposed to sing that song in America. That's not how you do that one. That one you should be having some emotions and being a little bit almost like, you know, heart in your throat kind of moment and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Babyface did a really nice job right before that too.
Yes,
and
with
it was
America the Beautiful.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see Babyface. Like, I hadn't seen him since I was a high schooler, like, or whatever. Mm-hmm, they did a nice job with that. I thought that the contrast. There's the other thing that stood out to me too is the halftime Super Bowl, like the halftime show.
Right.
It seemed like everybody couldn't wait to come out, and they do this all the time with halftime shows. They could not wait to come out and trash the halftime show, and I'm a big fan of Rihanna's. I like her a lot. I like her work a lot and everything. I will say that I did find it a little boring. I did find it a little like, okay, you know, this is kind of what we got. But two things. One, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, I think that should be noted a little bit more and everything. She didn't know she was going to be pregnant when she took the gig. This happens. So they had to improv kind of and change up what she had planned. So I thought in that respect, she did an incredible job. Modern artists nowadays take so much heat for, oh, I can't do a song by myself. She did that whole halftime show herself.
Yes.
Like, carried that whole thing. And I feel like there's some revisionist history or something going on. To the younger people, I kind of get it. Younger audiences out there, all they've grown up with is big musical acts and the halftime show. I don't know how many people remember what the Super Bowl halftime shows used to be. Let me take you back to 1989 when, quote, "Ah, shut up. Here's a 3D audience participating with card tricks and an Elvis impersonator out there."
Like, wow.
That was the halftime show. In 1989, it wasn't, we're not talking the 70s
ago.
Or,
no.
yeah. Like, let's give a little bit of credit to these.
Yeah.
How spoiled are we? They go, this Rhea, all she did was fly up higher than we've seen anybody go before.
And right.
It looked like an old video game kind
dancing
of like.
Yeah. Platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thousands of dancers all in unison doing an amazing job choreography wise. Her singing her tail off. No audio, just her up there singing. But it was okay.
See, but that's what I appreciated about it. I liked this halftime show more than I've liked some of the previous ones in the past years because they were too flashy, and it was almost as if they were trying to distract us from whether or not the artist was singing or what they were doing. And she put it out there. She says, here's who I am. I'm just going to give you a good concert and sing my music. I appreciated that.
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was the greatest halftime show I've ever seen. That's never going to happen. I saw it with Prince. I don't think I'll ever see a better halftime show than that one. It was raining during Purple Rain. Come on, people. Like, it's not just, it was too good. But for what it is, to take that gig, you haven't performed live in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You find out what a couple months ago or whatever, maybe a little longer than that, that you're pregnant. All this stuff, all these factors. And yeah, go out there. And oh, by the way, we know you've been doing this a long time. We know you've had big audiences. You will never in your career have a bigger audience than this right now.
Right.
Like, no artist. I don't care
no
if
pressure.
You're...
No pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought what was interesting to me, after the halftime show, there was like a U2 commercial that I thought was really bad. Like, really, really bad. Like, it was something about, like, an object coming from the sky, an unidentified, like, bad timing. Really bad timing, you two.
Yeah.
I would have shelved that. I don't care how much money they spent on that commercial. I cannot believe that nobody's talking about that. Like, it could not have been, like, it's not their fault. It's a horrible coincidence that we've had three different incidences where we've shot something down in the skies. It's a foreign object in the skies. And then U2 comes out to promote their new album or whatever, and it's an object coming from the sky.
Yeah.
Creepy, by the way. Creepy baby thing, by the way. That was all weird. That I had more of an issue with than the whole halftime show or any of these other things. I thought, as far as the entertainment factor, the America the Beautiful, the national anthem, the halftime show, well done.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, all those artists.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job, everybody. Like, that was pretty good work. I'm with you, Beth. I almost like the stripped down versions of these things more than any of the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Well, it's all gotten so overblown. Did you see the contrasting pictures between the coin toss now and the coin toss?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably in the 80s where there was like four dudes out there.
Yeah. It's insane. It's the Super Bowl coverage used to start at noon. And it going, and we thought it was insane to the game doesn't start until 7, and they're going to have 6 hours of football coverage? Like, it's crazy. Now, the coverage for next year's Super Bowl has already begun.
Yeah.
Like, it's already started. That's how much football coverage there is. That's crazy.
They gathered out there for the coin toss, and then they cut to that commercial, and Aaron's like, well, are they going to do the coin toss?
Yeah,
like, what's happening? Why are we watching a commercial?
It's insane.
Like, they're just standing there.
We are going to wrap up our Super Bowl coverage here on the morning show when we come back with 10 interesting facts and stats about the Super Bowl. But we will be covering it, of course, more in Playmakers. We'll actually be getting into the game and diving into some of that stuff. We're looking forward to it. Randy Paul, I believe, will be with us today, and all of you, because it's your show too. Everybody get ready to call up in Playmakers in about a half an hour. We'll have some fun. For now, sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news, and we'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.
Ain't there something I can give in exchange for everything you give to me? Read my mind, you make me feel just fine.
Easily one of the most romantic songs you will ever hear. One of the greatest voices you will ever hear. Love me some Anita Baker.
How appropriate for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, that worked out. That worked out. That was pretty good. Yeah. God, that song holds up.
That's still one of my favorite like romance songs or R&B songs, like, period. That's such a good one. Got some big, scoured the internet looking for interesting facts to pull from the game from yesterday. Just got a handful of them to kind of touch on to kind of wrap up the big game from yesterday and all the whole season and all that. If you haven't heard, by now I'm pretty sure most people had. This was the first time in NFL history that we had two African-American quarterbacks starting facing each other. We have had, back in the Chicago-Indianapolis Super Bowl, we had two African-American head coaches face each other. This is the first time this has happened. This will happen a lot going forward.
Yes.
This will not be, this is the last time this will be a thing. Clearly for many reasons, but one of the most biggest reasons is that it's not a strange thing anymore to see an African-American playing quarterback. It's pretty insane that it took till 2023 for this to happen, but in 1988, Doug Williams became the first black quarterback to start a Super Bowl. He led Washington to a 42-10 win over Denver, was named MVP. He was also at the game yesterday.
Awesome.
Wow.
Grambling State's own, I would like to mention, Doug Williams. Mahomes and Hurts had a combined age of 51 years, 337 days. That's surpassing Joe Montana and Dan Marino in 1985 as the youngest Super Bowl QB matchup of all time.
Wow.
Have you ever wondered how Super Bowl tickets are distributed? No, I don't blame you. it's not just a free-for-all or on Ticketmaster. Here's how the ticket pie is divided. Both teams, in this case, Kansas City and Philadelphia, got access to 17.5%. The host team, the Arizona Cardinals, got 5%, and the remaining 29 teams got 34.8%, or about 1.2% each. The NFL got the rest with 25.2%. That's kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I hadn't really ever thought about it, to be honest with you. I just, you know, Super Bowl tickets just happen.
and none of us are going.
So. Right, yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
Well, and the more I hear about this, the more, like, it's so weird for me to say, and young me would be just scarred from this, but I don't know if I have any interest in going to the game. Like, that's so, they depend on the location. Like, next year it's in Vegas, and that might be kind of interesting. They have a really beautiful stadium, but I'm watching that game yesterday, and for one, and I don't mean to be a jerk here, but the Cardinals Stadium isn't that impressive to me. It's not that great. And they really seemed like a very, like, lame kind of, like, hosting job. Like, I didn't, and especially, I cannot get touch on this right now or I'll go on a rant. But in Playmakers, I'll talk about the field.
Yeah.
That's, I'll save it for there. Because
it looked a little rough.
Oh, my God, Melissa.
They did a terrible job with it.
The NFL is literally, like, just spilling money all over the place. They're that Daddy Warbucks where their pockets are full and they can't put any more in there. It's the golden goose. There's no industry in the world that you could put stock into and guarantee a profit from like you can the NFL.
Right.
And they can't put a good fee. I can't get into this. I can't get into this.
No.
This is ridiculous.
Too many
Moving
slips.
On.
I do find the ticket giveaway thing very interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. Just cool how they do, hearing how it's done.
Distribute them.
I don't know if that's the right way to do it or not. I got no idea what the right way to do it is, so I don't know.
And the other thing is, if you think about going to the game, on TV you get all of these different angles. You can get a close-up of the place that they're going on. If you are live at the stadium, it's blobs, especially if you're at the very, very top tier. It's just little blobs out there doing things. So you actually get a better experience of the Super Bowl if you're watching it on TV.
Yeah. Cleveland
I've always heard the excitement in the stadium is a thing to experience at sporting events.
And I think, you know, usually it is. It's just so odd that the biggest game of the year is probably the one that nobody really enjoys going to that much. Any other event, like Melissa, I could take you to a River Kings game and I almost guarantee you'll have a good time. Like, and I know you don't care too much about hockey or sports or anything, but
hockey.
I thought so, actually, as I was saying, and I'm like, wait a minute, actually I think she does like hockey. But you know, stuff like that. Like there's an engagement in like those kind of sports. is, or those kind of like the level of it. But mm-hmm. with this game, I just told you right there who's all at this game. Mm-hmm. And it's already the people that they've already kind of got won over and who are there like to see the game. Yeah. But they're also there for the pomp and circumstance of
yeah.
it.
To be seen. Yep.
I think if you really wanted the game to have a real game like feel to it, you know, do almost the opposite. Offer it to your average fans, the fans yes. that don't normally get to go to games. Maybe this is the, you know, have half of the stadium filled with people that have never been to a football game. Imagine yeah. the excitement then.
Yeah.
Imagine the pomp and circumstance and all that and everything. I think you might have a bit of a better reaction from the crowds and stuff. It was interesting when you got two very vocal fan bases. There were times where it felt like a home game for Philly in that game.
Yeah.
In that game. At the very end, though, it was hilarious to me as they're pulling back and Kansas City wins. That stadium emptied quick. It looked like there was like 20 people in the stands by the
wow.
time they were up there getting their, and Mahomes was getting his MVP statue mm-hmm. and everything. By that point, it looked like everybody had gone home. Like everybody had left that stadium. It was kind of funny to me. It was interesting.
Well, there were 200 private jets that flew out of there very shortly after the game was done.
Wow.
How sad is that? That's pathetic. Very few circumstances in life where I think a private jet is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is the only city with an NFL team that has not gone to the Super Bowl and not hosted.
Rub it in, James.
I feel bad. I didn't want to say it even. I didn't even want to say it. The other teams that have not gone to the game but are in cities that have hosted are Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL spent 2 years preparing the grass for the field at the Super Bowl. Yes, that turf that everyone was slipping on, the grass was grown at a local sod farm in Phoenix. It was installed 2 weeks ago, and it cost over $100,000.
Wow.
And 2 years of effort?
That's what you got. Out of all of that, that's what you got out of that. What was one of the most ridiculous Super Bowls I've ever seen when it comes to the field.
Right.
Like, it was one of the best Super Bowls I've seen as far as the way the players handled it, mm-hmm. I thought. And the big shout-out to the training staffs and all the hard workers on the sidelines that nobody knows the names of, but are the people in charge of having cleats that are this
yes.
big and cleats that are that big and figuring out what are going to work for my players on the field. Total game changers.
Yes.
Nowhere near a good game if we don't have those people who are paying attention to that stuff
mm-hmm.
and being like, hey, Jalen Hurts, try these cleats. These might work a little bit better. And then
yep.
Jalen Hurts has one of the greatest games any of us have ever seen.
I have never seen a quarterback run so much intentionally
that kid
in
was,
any game.
Kid was not. The kid, and he after every touchdown, he did the Barry Sanders. He just handed
yeah.
the ball off. Like every touchdown. Mm-hmm. Like,
yep.
I don't feel bad for players when they lose games, like ever. They're paid lots of money to play mm-hmm. a kid's game. I feel bad for fans maybe of, you know, certain things, kids, a lot of this stuff. I actually felt bad for Jalen
yeah.
Hurts at the end of that game. I was rooting for Kansas City. I wanted Kansas City to win, and I still felt bad for that kid. He did everything.
He did.
He had one bad play. And again, we'll get into it more in playmakers. But this year, Mahomes did these four things. He won the regular season MVP, won the Super Bowl MVP, and led the NFL in passing touchdowns and led the NFL in passing yards. Only three players have ever done in a whole career what Patrick Mahomes did this season.
Wow.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner. None. Mahomes is the first player in NFL history to win multiple championships and multiple league MVPs within his first six seasons.
Wow. He's only been playing for 6 years professionally?
Kid's just something.
Wow.
Just incredible. Just a complete original. Kansas City rookies Isaiah Pacheco and Sky Moore, great names, by the
mm-hmm.
way, both scored a touchdown. The Chiefs are the second team to have two different rookies score a TD in the Super Bowl. The only other team, the 85 Bears, who had rookies William Perry and Reggie Phillips do it. And if you're wondering, the color of the Gatorade shower was purple.
Purple.
Some gambling sites that hosted prop bets gave purple the second longest odds of coming out. So behind the only chance that they'd that Gatorade no shower. So that was the only other one. That was a big one.
Wow.
And a lot of football fans were caught in the middle and watched the Super Bowl without rooting for either team.
Mm-hmm.
If you were literally and physically halfway between Kansas City and Philly, you'd be in Gettysburg, Ohio. It's a small town of 463 mm-hmm. people just northeast of Dayton, Ohio. And they had kind of fun with this. They kind of like a lot of the local bars there and everything did a nice job with it. Yeah, I mean, overall, it was a pretty, you know, event, a pretty successful event. We will talk about this more, of course, in Playmakers, but just a lot of, it's always interesting to me when there's history made or when there's, you know, things like that that go on. So we had a little of that in this one. We will take a break. We'll come back, get into some That Ain't Right stories, got good stories of the day, all that coming up for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour. We got some That Ain't Right stories and some good stories of the day we'll wrap up on. First, that ain't right, and is nothing in this world sacred anymore? Come on, people. Mm-hmm. Leave the Oscar Mayer vehicle alone.
Oh, no.
The Oscar Mayer was left scrambling on Friday after someone stole the catalytic converter off of the Wienermobile.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Technically, is one Wienermobile. They have six of them now, but still. It happened in Las Vegas. Someone got underneath the 27-foot hot dog on wheels and sawed the thing off. They also removed a bunch of other parts to get to it. The Wienermobile was scheduled to show up at events on Saturday and Sunday, so mechanics did a temporary repair to get it back on the road. It still needs a new catalytic converter, but plus other repairs, but it didn't make it to both of those events, apparently. Catalytic converter thefts have become more and more common the past few years. Mm-hmm. People steal them because they contain precious metals worth hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I think we've all heard the reports or seen enough by now to know how the how much this is happening. I'm curious to see when or if car companies will actually gonna do something about this and do something to kind of counter it or try to prevent it from happening or any of those kind of things.
Right.
I think way too much is asked of law enforcement when it comes to that. You're asking law enforcement to be around, like, what, all vehicles all the time? Like, you know, I'd like to see these companies do something a little bit about it and everything. And there are... like for certain things in life that are a definitive that ain't right. Like, the Wienermobile isn't for us adults; it's for kids. And if you're doing something like that to like that, it's going to hurt kids. Like there's a difference of that is really wrong, and like we need to tack on to that sentence. Like this person really needs to learn their lesson from doing this. But yeah, I think that when they catch the person that did this, I think that they should have to not only repair the vehicle themselves, but I think they should have to go and apologize to those kids for doing it. This shame factor should be stepped up a notch, I think, with some of these things. It's not enough. Certain people, I have to remind people of this all the time. I come from the other side of the tracks, and I can promise you that nobody in human history has ever not committed a crime because bail bonds were high.
Right.
Or something like that. I think people are going to look at me really, or I'm going to get a really hefty fine from that. Did you hear that they raised the fine for this crime? Like, people don't care about that stuff. But you get into their shame.
Yep.
You start playing under those factors. And I'm not saying crime is going to go to a zero, but you might actually see some work being done. You have to ask yourself, how many of the people that are elected, how much are they actually working to bring these crimes down, and how much do they actually are benefited from those crimes? And gives them talking pieces.
Yeah.
And gives them things to hang their hat on when they don't have actually anything else to actually say. But, I can always talk about crime, because crime's always a factor. Because guess what? There's more people than there's ever been.
Right.
And, of course, you're going to...
there's more poverty.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Shocking. Yep. Take a look at the crime results during the Great Depression, everybody. Tell me how those numbers were back then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not shocking. This isn't rocket science. You should not steal. I also, they catch this person, I hope every criminal that they are locked up with, I look forward to them, like, the razzing that they are going to take from this, the heat they'll take from that.
Yep. What are you in for? Vandalized the Wienermobile.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You did what? Joey, you got to hear what this guy did. This is a weird that I write one. A doorbell cam filmed a pizza delivery getting interrupted by a flying squirrel.
Oh no.
The squirrel is perched on a wall behind the delivery guy. When someone opens the front door, the squirrel leaps through the air into the house.
Oh no.
The woman who opened the door screams, and then everything goes quiet as the delivery guy waits. It's about half a minute before the husband shows up to pay and explain. They were able to get the animal out later.
Oh, no.
That's pretty darn funny.
Pizza with a side of squirrel.
Yes, yes.
And the poor delivery guy just standing there awkwardly, like, okay, guess I'll wait.
Yep.
I like the idea of we have animals start delivering meals for us. I like a flying squirrel delivering your pizza. I like the idea of that. Or just delivery, you know, has gotten kind of boring. You know, they hand you your food, you thank you, have a good night or whatever, and that's about it and everything. Kind of like making it a little more exciting. Like, hey, flying squirrel, man, whoa! Like, the curveball. Like, hey, here's your pizza
dinner
and flying squirrel. Like, dinner and a show. Yes,
there you go.
Mel. Nicely done, Mel. Yeah. Give you maybe a little bit more interesting. I don't know.
Oh, that's one brave squirrel. I mean, usually they skitter away when anybody comes near, and then it stayed on the wall behind the guy and then flew into the house.
Sneak
wow.
attack.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a feeling that squirrel planned this. That squirrel, it was
for
just,
weeks.
It was waiting for its moment. It was just sitting back.
Always get pizza delivered on this night. I'm just going to wait.
Yes.
This is my moment. This is our moment. Actually, I bet you anything, that squirrel had a group. Like, it was going to be a group of squirrels that was going to do this. And he was the only one that, like, everybody else, like, backed out at the last second. He was the only one that went through with it. And everything. All right, so we're going to charge this house, right, guys?
Yep.
We're gonna do this. All of us at once, squirrel. Like, and they got distracted. And,
by themselves.
Yes. And he was the only one that went through with the mission. It was the only one. We're going to get some
Great
free pizza.
Squirrel.
Yep.
This was, squirrels are trying to find a way to get pizza. And this was their way,
and it didn't work out.
Just didn't work out. Want to get to some good stories of the day. And actually want to start local here with our Winter Farmers Market, Beth. Can we tell people a little bit about the Winter Farmers Market?
Absolutely. Every Saturday morning, starting at 9 a.m. through 1 p.m., you can come to the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church down in our fellowship hall. We have as many vendors as show up. So we've got space for like 25 to 30. We've been getting about 12 or so each week. You can come down and see what they have for sale. We do have an elevator so that if you're concerned about being able to make stairs, you don't have to be. We've got a ramp coming into the building and an elevator to get to where you need to go. So if you're interested in being a vendor, we have a nice steady flow of people coming in and out to see what's down there. You can go to our website, wrmoravian.org, find the More tab, scroll down to Winter's Farmers Market, and there's information both if you're looking to come and if you're looking to be a vendor.
It's a great opportunity, not only for our farmers and these vendors, but for you to get some great local produce and to help support our ag industry.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate you guys hosting this, too. It's so cool to be able to send people that way. I seem to pass you guys every Saturday morning. You seem to go past there at one point. And it's just every Saturday, it's been popular. It's been very well filled. Mm-hmm. That parking lot has a lot of people in it.
Well, we mean it when we say all are welcome. And we're glad to be there for the community as well.
Again, wrmoravian.org is the website you can go to. Some more good stories for you. Two veterans named Sylvian Schaeffler and Harvey Rottenberg just went to their 57th Super Bowl in a row.
Wow.
Oh my.
They were at the first one with a group of vets in 67 and five from the original group that had been going for years. You might remember them from the past years. They're called the Super Bowl Five. Unfortunately, one of them recently passed away and the two others couldn't make it this year, but Sylvan and Harvey kept the tradition going.
Good for them.
Yeah. Other Super Bowl news, all the pre-made championship hats and shirts for the losing team won't go to waste. A charity called Good 360 makes sure that stuff goes gets used by donating. In the past, they've been using the shirts to help clothe people in Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, and Middle East. You see this many years, you know, oftentimes you'll see this Super Bowl winning team shirt on somebody from a third world country. That team didn't win. So that's been going on for a long time. I think we're finally starting to get to find out who's doing it. You know, I think that part's new. An anonymous donor walked into the Turkey embassy in D.C. the other day and donated $30 million to help victims of that terrible earthquake.
Wonderful.
The quake happened a week ago today. The death toll has crossed over 30,000.
And it shouldn't take a natural disaster for philanthropic people to do things like that. Yeah. We've got people that are in need all over the world right now.
It is horrifying what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Any help is so appreciated. I can't imagine. I literally can't wrap my mind around that, walking in somewhere and dropping $30 million
that's
to donate
amazing.
To somebody. That's incredible. That's just incredible. A student at Auburn University made a full court putt during their basketball game against Alabama on Saturday. He had to putt a golf ball 94 feet to win a car and nailed it. A Toyota dealership sponsored the whole thing. No word on what type of car he's getting, but it'll be better than what he'd been driving, which is no car.
Wow.
Because he's a college student. Of course. That's pretty cool.
Good for him.
Yeah, those are always good stories to me. I always enjoy those. I wanted to mention this. Firefighters saved dozens of dogs from a fire at a doggy daycare in Seattle last week. All 115 dogs that were inside made it out.
Good.
Good.
And an animal shelter in Tennessee helped reunite a dog with its family after someone found a heartbreaking note tied to it. The note said, "Please love me. My mom can't keep me and is homeless with two kids. She tried her best but can't help. I cost too much for her. She really loves me and I'm a great dog." It also said to please not change her name, which is Lilo. People at the shelter could tell the woman really loved Lilo, so they tracked her down and they're giving her all the food and pet supplies she needs. They've also been working to find her family a pet-friendly homeless shelter until they're back on their feet.
Aww.
That's how you help people.
Yes.
That's how it's done. And all of us have that in us, and all of us can be a good story.
Mm-hmm.
Good story having you two. Thank you both so much. You guys have a great morning.
Thanks, you too,
yes,
James.
You too. Have a good Monday.
You have a good Monday, everybody. Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here on... Oh, you know, I like the way Steph does this. Let's have her do it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.